This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Men's Room podcast with myself, Adi Odipo, the great Rory Jennings, and a very, very special guest, Olympic silver medalist and one of the hottest prospects in world boxing. I feel like I'm going to put him under pressure here by saying future world champion, the main man Ben Whitaker is here as well. We are celebrating Black History Month. Loads to discuss around that topic. We are going to chat a bit of boxing as well. We got him here, so you got to chat a bit. And you got me here, so you got to chat a bit of boxing. Let's kick things off with Black History Month. I'll start in terms of what it means to me. I've been doing this countdown on TalkSport of my top 8 black athletes, which is the hardest thing in the world to do, by the way. And I've been getting so much stick for it. Can't lie. Like, why is he not here? Why is she not in it? But the reason I did that countdown was almost like my celebration of Black History Month is always going to be linked to sports. And it's almost showing the young people from, if you like, the ghetto, the bad areas, that this could be you. So when I celebrate those athletes and put them on the pedestal, it's almost like, wow, look at what they've achieved, what she's achieved. And hopefully they look at that. We had a fantastic fighter, Clarissa Shields, fighting on the weekend, who in 5 years' time will probably be on my list. And she came from poverty. She was raped at 5. She's got so much bad backstory. But then look where she is now. Exactly. So when you sort of continually preach their names and I go on the radio show and talk about them, I want young kids to listen in and think, wow. As they will when they continue to talk about you, Ben Whitaker. You're doing amazing stuff. What's your thing? When you hear Black History Month, what springs to mind for you?
There's so many things, but to me, it's a time to celebrate what we've gone through and where we are now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Being a man of colour, sometimes you only look at the colour, but being able to represent myself, my country, and my background, it's something I'll always be proud of.
Yeah, indeed. We've got this, by the way, this is almost like my adopted Nigerian here in Rory Jennings. Obviously, look, me and you've always discussed Black History Month. It's funny because you said the other day, I asked you who's your biggest hero, and I expected so many different answers, and you said Rod Hillett.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the answer, I think, for a lot of Chelsea fans of a particular generation.
Yeah.
Like, Ruud Gullit signed for Chelsea and certainly changed the shape of the club. Ruud Gullit then led the club to the FA Cup, the first trophy that Chelsea had won for 26 years. He became the first black man to manage a team to an FA Cup. So, yeah, his status among Chelsea fans, particularly Chelsea fans of a certain age, will forever be, you know, the very top tier.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, I support Liverpool because of John Barnes. That's my thing, right? And I think there'll be a lot of black people that support Arsenal because of Ian Wright. Just the way it works, Man United, Andy Cole. A lot of black people I know support Chelsea because of Didier Drogba. Yeah. Like, literally, he is he is Mr. Africa in Nigeria. He's the icon. Yeah, when you think of it, he's the icon. So it's weird because I think of so what Chelsea were deemed of as a club back in the 70s and 80s to what Chelsea are now to black people is completely different. Completely different.
Yeah, I think so. There's always been a lot of iconic people associated with Chelsea, though. That are black.
Yeah.
Like this goes way back into the era where you wouldn't necessarily think it. Like, for example, Chelsea's biggest terrace legends. Mm. You know, when you think about sort of what goes on in the 70s, 80s in football stadiums.
The naughty stuff.
One of the biggest icons at Chelsea for that was a one-armed black bloke called Babs.
Really?
Genuinely. Yeah. You know how you had the Bear Denton at Arsenal, you had Cass Pennant at West Ham. people don't really know or certainly don't associate Chelsea with having an icon in the shed who was a one-armed black fellow called Babs. You know, he was leading Chelsea's mob. He was one of the people on the front line. So I think the link between a club like Chelsea and the black community is there. It's just often been overshadowed by idiotic behaviour over the years.
Yeah. You're in a sport, Ben, where the majority of the superstars from the sport are black. When you think of sort of the big names sort of going way back, Sugar Ray Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Jack Johnsons, etc., to now, when you think of some of the biggest names as well, like the Anthony Joshuas, yourself, hopefully in a few years' time. Did you ever experience any sort of racism coming up from where you came from, getting into the sport?
Where are you from, Ben?
I'm from Wolverhampton, but my dad's background is Jamaican. To be fair, there's racism in all walks of life, you know. You can get profiled, just be like wearing a tracksuit, a cap, things like that. But I always used to feel a bit out of place when I was going to the GB trials because I was the only coloured kid there. And I didn't really see no one like myself. No one really spoke like me, listened to the same music. What my dad used to say is, forget the colour, forget anything like that. Let your skill and ability speak for itself. And that's what I used to do.
You're very different, I think. Because when I look at the GB squads that you were in and GB squads before, I feel like everyone, and this is maybe why you were the hot ticket, everyone wanted to get you because everyone's quite reserved and speak. I mean, you've only had, what, two professional fights?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, but you talk like someone that's had 30. You know, you're on camera, wanting to be on camera. You're very different in terms of who you are, your persona as well.
I think that's just being a... I've got a great family around me, you know. My mum always said, just be yourself, embrace your colour, embrace who you are, and so did my dad. And when I used to go to the GB, I used to turn up with a speaker, play my songs, and do stuff like that, just be myself, you know, and it paid off, so.
Was it generally welcoming?
It was welcoming, but it was daunting as well. I used to go up there when I was 15, 14, stuff like that, and see nobody like yourself, not even a coach with the same colour. It was a bit weird, especially coming back from a local area where everyone kind of looks like me, talks like me. But
I'm surprised
it's just the way
by
you have
that,
to live.
Because I thought that boxing, particularly if you were to say any sport in this country that would be incredibly open and receptive to the idea of black heroes, it'd be boxing. I'm surprised that it was
weird. Like, luckily enough, if you look at the Team GB squad that went to the recent Olympics, so many of us, you know, when there's Siobhan Clarke, Fraser, Caroline Dubois, the list goes on. But when I first went up there, it was just myself, you know, I was a lone warrior. But it was good because I felt like I was representing myself and people from my area as well.
It's interesting because Amir Khan always speaks to that as well. Amir Khan, obviously, you know, Asian boxer, always used to talk about when he used to go up, and you can imagine if there's less blacks, there's going to be hardly no Asians. Yeah. And he used to have that fight as well where people had to accept him and his style and his sort of creativity.
Sometimes you felt like you had to change a little bit, you know. I used to talk a bit different. Like, I've always had manners, so I know I have to do my manners, but I'd kind of push the manners a bit. It'd please and thank you before and after everything, you know. But eventually, like I said, when I got comfortable, I come out my shell a bit and I just became the Ben I am now.
Would you say there were any barriers at first because of your colour? Because I always look at sport, and when I think of sport, I always think of your talent will overcome any barriers because you've talent.
Meritocracy. Sport should be at least the meritocracy. Yeah.
That's what my dad said. You said your skill will always overcome it. But sometimes I didn't get picked for certain things when I knew I should have. Sometimes if something did happen, they'd look at me like I've done something. I'm just playing my PlayStation. But at the end of the day, your skill, your manners, attitude, that will always overcome anything.
Yeah. I mentioned that I did my top 8 list for Black History Month. Yeah. Feel free to go into TalkSport and have a look at it. When you think of sort of your black heroes, who springs to mind?
There's so many. But looking up since a kid, like you said, you've got the Usain Bolts there. And watching him in the Olympics, your eyes will just like jump out of the screen. Do you know what I mean? People like Serena Williams, what they've done for the sport. And the list goes on, really. If I sit here, we're going to go on all day. But being a part of that, hopefully, eventually.
Are you a Wolves fan, Ben?
I'm a Wolves fan / Tottenham.
Mate, it's going so well. It changed everything. The whole dynamic has just changed here. Wow.
How's that happened? Ben, I've never heard that in my life.
That we didn't expect.
Can't do that. I can understand sort of, I don't know, Wolves / a country.
Or Wolves / Sampdoria. But not this, but anything but this.
My house is a cocktail, so my brother supports Arsenal, my dad supports Tottenham, and then our local team's Wolves. So I go down and watch the Wolves and stuff like that, but where they are right now,
do you have any any relationship with Wolverhampton Wanderers? Do they bring you in because you're...
Yeah, great relationship. I'm always on the pitch, always going around doing talks. I'm going into schools and stuff like that. So it's always just to motivate the up-and-coming generation.
Did you, at this sort of young age, especially in your career, did you realise how important you are in terms of someone that is just 100% themselves? So people can see that. And because there will be a lot of people that want to get into boxing, but there is that fear of, like you say, you have to change yourself a bit. And when they see you so early in your career and you're doing whatever you do and you do that kind of that you do as well. do you feel like, do you know sort of the responsibility so early that you have?
Truthfully, no. Like I keep going back to my mum and dad, but I've got a great family that said, just be yourself. If people don't like you, they do like you, it's for yourself. And that's what I tell young kids now. Don't change for the crowd, for the teachers, anybody like that. Just be yourself. Mm. And I'm happy I've stayed true to myself, because being a professional now, there's so many eyes on you. There's so many comments, this, that, but I won't change.
How do you deal with that, Ben? Because, look, I mean, we've got small following. Rory's got a big following, but I've got a really small following. And every time I see a bit of negativity, I can see like 10 things that are amazing. Mm. That one negativity, it's almost like it's highlighted in red.
It's like it sticks out.
How do you as a professional athlete deal with that? Because you'll get it. You know it's going to come.
You're a human being, and sometimes what some little things, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit harsh. But
Woodhouse went to someone's house. He turned up in someone's house.
That must have been terrifying.
No, to be fair, it might sound like I'm lying, but I actually don't care, if I'm being honest. The only people it affects is my mum, bless her. She's like my number one fan. So when she sees things, it upsets her. So I feel a bit bad for her on that stage. But me, I'm just thinking, if they're talking about me, they're talking for a reason. Do you know what I mean?
Perfect attitude.
Talk bad, talk good, as long as they're talking.
Do you feel under pressure at all? You know how, in order to make a statement as a boxer, it's sometimes very difficult. So the boxers that have had the traction in society have made bold statements. You know, they can't always simply let the boxing do the talking. They have to hype up a fight. They have to make themselves known, whether it's via social media or whatever.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Like, I've come out with some bold statements. I was talking about having certain people in my first five fights, but some people say and some people mean it, and I actually mean it. But I'll put myself in that awkward position to say it, because you've got to do it. If you don't talk, you don't get fed. That's what I say. Mm. And the more you keep putting yourself out there, the more you're going to be an object to a bit of backlash, but you'll be in the public eye and you'll be getting yourself
so
out
essential,
there.
Isn't it, for a boxer? Obviously, you have loads of experience like working with different fighters. Mm. It's almost a prerequisite now, isn't it? To be out there, to make yourself known, to almost make statements from the
ring. It's authentic.
Yeah. I think people realise if it's real, if it's WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
And they will cotton on very
Ric
quickly.
Flair over
they're very quickly. Like, oh, 1 second. Yeah, you said that last week. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a copy and paste job. Yeah.
People are like, oh, he's saying the same thing as him. So you've got to be true to yourself.
You've got to be authentic. Yeah, and that's the thing about it. And this man so far certainly is.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
I always feel like in any walk of life, right, the best man gets the job. That's just how it is.
Oh, I wish that were true, Eddie. I couldn't, mate, if that were true, me and you wouldn't be sitting here.
Very true. No, speak for yourself. But in football, there's been this thing of there's a lot of black footballers, and for them to go from footballers to management, there's been that barrier.
Yeah.
And I follow that with boxing more so, right? With boxing, there's loads of black boxers. Again, we can reel off some of the biggest names in history, but for them to become managers, trainers, promoters, it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
You must have seen that as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, once again, going back to the Team GB, it would have been good to have like a bit of a coloured coach, because you'd feel a bit home. It's like a father figure. Mm. There was nobody there, and I'd ask some of the coaches around my area. He was quite good, I'd say, come, you've not gone up there. So we've sent CVs, applications, but we never hear anything back. It's if you know somebody, and it's a bit of a shame, but sometimes it's the way the world works, really.
Is it still the way now?
Yeah, even now, there's nobody up there. Do you know what I mean? It would have been great for some of the up-and-coming coloured lads to have somebody up there, and it's just the way it is, sadly.
See, the thing with football, though, is that there's at least been a push for it. Like, you know, there's conversations.
Yeah.
We hear it. There's conversations about it, and it's spoken about, so people know it's happening, and almost because of that, you're seeing, you know, we're seeing it now. Vieira's got a good job. We're seeing people get jobs. In boxing, it's hardly a conversation.
It's not a conversation.
It's not even a conversation. No one even
maybe
talks about it.
Maybe that's the sport we're in. You know, we're a bit too manly sometimes. We just get on with it. That's it. But I think people like myself and higher ups should probably talk about it more, because they just push open.
But also, when you think of the wisdom for like some of Britain's best ever athletes, like transcend sport, whether you want to talk about Prince Nassim Mohammed or you want to talk about Lennox Lewis, they are the best that we've ever produced.
The best.
I don't understand how there isn't some sort of push
to want to get them involved.
Like,
You should want them to be there.
Exactly.
Like, forget the fact of whether or not they want it. You should force it on them.
Like Prince Nassim Mohammed definitely has some wisdom to share. Like, that's a fact. Like, that's a definite
fact. He's everyone's hero.
Certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, when he used to, like, flip into the ring and that changed. That
was, my mum don't even really like boxing, but him, she would tune in for him.
Mate, I was a bit like that. I remember when he came out on a flying carpet. I was just like, well, he's wicked. Like, this is...
grabbed your attention, and that's what the sport needs, is role models, people who grab your attention, and he's that person.
Yeah. I guess you're doing your part, whether or not that's happened by luck or whatever, but signing with 258 management... Obviously, AJ and that link there. So you're, I guess, doing your part in bridging that gap. Yeah.
No, I have a real good connection with those, and I'm quite lucky. Well, I say I'm lucky, but I work for it. But to have these little connections, things like that, it's only going to help me out. And then if I can help somebody else, I've done my part.
Very good sign of your personality there to acknowledge a bit of luck. Do you know that? I think it's a really nice trait to go, look, you can be as good as you like, but if things don't fall right or whatever.
That's true. Like, I was in the right time at the right place, like I said. But the main thing is I was consistent, you know, like every time I had a little knock back, things like that, stuck at it, listened to my mum and dad, here I am, so.
Ad, for me, because I'm not as clued up on this as you, 258 management, what's the significance there? Who are they?
So basically, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
So obviously they try and say go an hour further, an hour more.
An extra hour.
An extra hour, an extra day.
Right, so 25. Love it.
You like the little slogan.
And it's weird how it sounds better saying 258 as opposed to 25/8.
Yeah,
25/8 wouldn't work.
Yeah. And who is it? Did you say that Anthony Joshua?
Anthony Joshua. Yeah, Anthony Joshua's management company. Yeah.
Right.
He's put together.
Mate, that's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. You know, I remember, like I said, before the Olympics, we used to speak, and it was an honour then, but I'm a realistic person. I didn't do anything, so I thought, what are they talking to me now? So they must have saw something, but went to the Olympics, came back, had everybody on the table. I had the audio connection with them. AJ is one of the biggest faces out there, so I thought, why not?
So there were other offers on the table. It was a bit of a bidding war for you.
You know, it was a crazy time, and my dad, bless him, he was smiling like a Cheshire cat. He said, this is what it's about. Do you know what I mean? It was good because, like, you hear all these stories about the pro game being this and that, but me to have it all on the table, once again, going back to the luck, I just felt real lucky. I was just like everybody else, went to the Olympics, did what I was supposed to do. But I was the one with the offers, and I went with the right choice.
And again, look, obviously, going back to it, I think it's important that we are seeing sort of black management companies sort of in the game.
Exactly.
Boxing's
exactly.
You
don't
game.
Really see it either.
You
so.
Rarely see it. Yeah. Obviously, we've got AJ over here in America. Obviously, you got... They must have reached out. Didn't Floyd Mayweather
reach out? I had Floyd, Jay Prince.
Yeah.
The list.
Oh, you had all the big ones.
You can't do that. You've got to say more words there. You can't go, I had Floyd, and then just keep talking. What?
Jay Prince as well. He's massive. He's the one who managed Floyd at the start of his career. So I was in the hotel room with him over watching the top
Did you see
show.
Al Heyman?
I don't want to speak to you, but I had the best of the best, really. But at the end of the day, I'm a British boxer, and I felt it was right to fight in Britain, build up my base in Britain, and we go from there.
What next for your career, Ben? I mean, I know right now it's an injury.
Yeah.
But sort of going forward, 2023, what's the outlook? Is it, do you jump? Because of, I always feel like Olympians don't need to kind of play around with area titles. And that might sound rude. I do apologize.
That's true.
But do you jump and go straight to British? What do you do?
Yeah, because even the other day, I was speaking to my dad. He goes, some kid with the central area called you. I said, central area? I said, what the hell is that? You know what I mean? And that's just me being me. And it's nothing to not, because fair play, the kid's got it. But like you said, there's levels. And coming out the Olympics, if I went back to a stage like that, people say, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But I'm still 25. There's still a lot to learn, not just about the sport, about myself. Do you know what I mean? I've got a great coach on board, which is Sugar Hill. and he's learning me each
Tyson
day.
Tyson Fury's coach, by the way.
Question mark. You know what I mean? But he's one of the best to do it. You know, he's been around the greats like the Tommy Ernst and stuff like that. So if I can learn from him, I'll be a great person. So all I'm doing now is just learning until I get to that point where I don't need to learn no more and I'm running the roost.
How difficult is it though? Be honest there. How difficult is it to keep your feet on the ground? I mean, again, you mentioned the bidding war, not just the bidding war from promoters and managers, the bidding war from broadcasters, which I know 100% behind the scenes exactly what happened. How difficult is it knowing everyone wants a piece of Ben Whittaker to kind of just say, okay, is it your mum and dad and your missus that just keep you like, okay, firmly feet grounded?
What it is it's all well and good that happening, but if you don't go and do what you're supposed to do, it means nothing. And that's the way I've been brought up. So all this bidding war can happen in a couple of hours. I could get knocked out and everyone's like, oh, he was good.
Touch wood, that ain't
touch wood, but you know, it
touch
could
the
happen.
Ben, touch the wood. You've seen
that type of stuff happen to people, the next big thing, and they don't come out as they're supposed to. So all I can do is make sure I'm in the gym firstly, because people, they get, when they hear all this, the glitz and the glam, they fall into that lifestyle. I don't want to do that. I'm an athlete of the sport. I live and breathe the sport. So that's what comes first. Mm. And that's it.
Back to sort of... the racial question, obviously this is Black History Month. Doesn't it not feel good that you are in a sport where, again, we spoke about this, it is a meritocracy. So look, if you're good enough, which you clearly are, sort of your colour isn't going to be sort of the drawback here. You're going to be able to break through those barriers and go on to become whoever you want to become.
100%. When you look at the football stuff like that, you've always got someone dictating your position, if that makes sense. You go through all these academies and things like that. There could probably be the best kid there, because if they don't fit the right profile, they'll pick somebody else. And it's not fair. Where boxing, you've got the job to knock them out. Do you know what I mean? No one can stand in front of you. You can actually do what you've got to do in the ring. And that's what I liked about the sport. And it's one of those sports, though. It's one of those sports.
It's like to fight.
It's one of those sports, though, because even now, me being the way I am, I come across as arrogant. But then if a Tyson Fury or Conor McGregor's doing it, he's classed as a legend. So
that's interesting, isn't it? And that is true, isn't it? Because when Conor was doing, as he still does, everything flashy, because Clarissa done something similar on the weekend, and she came across as arrogant and rude.
The list goes on, but then like exactly as the same as a Floyd Mayweather, he used to talk his talk at the way he used to act. Oh, he's disrespectful, he's this and that. Then Tyson Fury can come out and do the same.
And it's funny.
Oh, he's a legend.
Particularly in that industry, particularly in the world of being a fighter, I like the arrogance. I think it's necessary. I think it's a prerequisite to be successful in it as well. But I just have so much respect for that hustle, because
Perceived differently.
Yeah.
It's definitely perceived 100%.
Differently. What, you think when McGregor is flash compared to, say, when Chris Floyd, Eubank Floyd, used to be flash?
The disrespect Floyd used to get was ridiculous. He was my favourite boxer as a kid. I used to watch him. Look up to him and think, yeah.
He was my number eight, by the way. In my list of top eight black athletes, he came eight.
Where he's come from and what he's done, I think he should talk, you know what I mean? He can talk what he wants to talk because he's come from nothing. But then you've got Conor on the other end talking about countries, this, that, and people's backgrounds, and people laugh.
Yeah, but
he's only selling the fight, so, well, you know. But
do you feel like, and I feel I know the answer to this anyway, but do you feel like you have to be careful that people don't sort of paint you like that as well?
Know what, they can paint me the way they want. I don't really. I'll say what I want to say, but like I said, if they do that, it just kind of shows.
Look, I've met you for half hour, but you're not getting accusations of being arrogant and flash, are you?
What
is that becoming? Is that a thing? This is a persona though, because obviously I've met you here. This is
There's two sides to me. You know, it's not fake what I do, but when I'm in that fighting zone, when I know I need to say something, I'll say it. Right. When there's not, I'm calm.
Yeah, I done a podcast, Ben will tell you, me and Gareth A. Davis, and we got Ben on. And Gareth was like, oh, I'm going to tell him to stop the show and all that nonsense he's doing. I was like, stop,
no,
shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. Like,
yeah, I looked
Rich coming from the room. I thought, what's going on?
He said, oh, you've got to be serious, is that? I'm serious because I'm not the kid out, but I'm having fun, entertaining the crowd. And when you backed me, I said, yeah.
I was like, absolutely. I was like, no chance. That's what sells the fight. It's fantastic. He's winning and he's entertaining us.
And it's something different as well. You know what I mean? Boxing's a brutal sport, but if I don't want to get hit, I'm not getting hit, man. That's it.
Ben, just before we wrap, you mentioned Floyd being your best boxer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. This is obviously not pre-planned, so you take your time with it. Give me your top five black athletes.
Okay.
Sorry, dude. I had to do this.
No worries. Top five.
Top five.
We have to put Muhammad Ali in there. I was watching the movie the other day.
Has to go in, isn't it?
And I didn't actually know what he went through, to be fair. That's he went crazy. Through so much. And to be what he is, he's one of the faces and voices of boxing. So him, definitely. Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Usain.
Yeah, those are in my eight.
I'd say Jack Johnson.
Oh, are you
just because he was the first black world champion. How many is that? Three, four?
Four.
One to go. This one is more. Huge.
This is massive.
This is people
massive. Think of who you're leaving out.
We're leaving out
No.
I mean, some.
You can only get this one wrong, really. Because whoever you say, we're going to go, what about?
For me, growing up, especially being a Tottenham fan.
What's going on here?
I thought it was a Wolves fan. I'm confused.
Thierry Henry. I used to look up to him. He was the guy for me as well. Yeah.
I like that.
Great shout. Yeah.
It's a great shout.
I mean, so yeah.
Ben, honestly, it's been fantastic having you, bro.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate you coming down. Good luck, 2023. No doubt it's going to be a fantastic year. I would say I would go and watch you, but considering I work for the Zone,
I know. It's a clash of interest.
If there's any tickets going, I'm in. Bad luck.
You can watch from the side.
Yeah.
You can watch the Instagram highlights.
Until he comes to the Zone. We make a big bid for him. Ben, appreciate Rory. Thank you very much. Thank you for watching this episode of the Men's Room Podcast. Make sure you leave your comments below as well. Remember, you can watch this, as I do, on YouTube, or you can download this episode from wherever you download your podcast from.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room Podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.